Tired of fighting your kids to make their bed? Say hello to Betty's. The unique design lets your kids make their bed with just a zip. Our patented bedding includes everything you need, a fitted sheet, top sheet, and comforter in one seamless piece that zips together. Kids love the feeling of accomplishment when they can make their bed by themselves every day. Make your mornings easier and visit Beddys.com. That's Beddys.com.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic Raised Bed and Garden Soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one ginger. We're here again. Hello. Every Thursday.
Feeling good about it.
Feeling good. You look gorgeous.
Thank you. So do you.
So beautiful.
So do you. Did you change your shirt?
I did.
You look amazing.
Or no,
I love this ensemble on you.
Thank you. Jacqueline bought me this shirt.
She knows what she's doing. That's a great color palette.
A man in a flannel. There's
it's
nothing
a
better.
It's a nice blue and red flannel.
You look great, Jer.
There you
like
go.
Like a patriotic man.
Oh, thanks. Which is so
he's
me.
A grand old flag.
So
he's
me waving my flag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A guy from Arizona.
Yep. It's my new bio on
love
my
it.
Instagram.
A guy yeah. from Arizona.
Guy from Arizona. Yeah. Yeah. In a band called The Maine.
Local area man.
How are we doing? How are we feeling? What are
feeling
we drinking?
Amazing.
So good.
I have the single Cutwater can we have in the fridge. I put it in here.
That
I'm going to drink
quite
it.
Quite tasty.
You can share it with me.
I'll have a sip.
I have here the Bud Light Seltzer. This is the Sangria Splash, tropical sangria style, naturally flavored. Gluten-free, I might add.
Holy crap.
As a celiac
honestly,
yourself.
Bud Light doesn't do anything I don't like.
Made with real juice, it says.
They don't do anything wrong, though. That is a long-standing brand, and they know what they're doing.
I feel like... long-standing brand, know what they're doing.
That's right. The new tagline for Bud.
Know what they're doing.
I would say, though, this is pretty damn good.
Yeah?
All things considered.
All right. No housekeeping today. If there's still merch left on our website, we're having a 20% off merch sale. We're doing a little spring cleaning, so go get your first degree merch.
Yeah, and the other housekeeping is always going to be join the Patreon. We are doing some cool shit over there, and I feel like we don't talk about it enough, so people don't realize that like we have probably 55 episodes on our Patreon that are like there for you to binge if you're out of content and you're really into that. We love our Patreon, and we actually open up in different ways on our Patreon.
Well, I was going to say, our Patreon's kind of a combination of regular First Degree and Killing Time, where we're conversational, we're telling the story kind of emotionally from like how our perspectives would kind of change the game if we're experiencing what was going on. So I think it's a little bit different type of storytelling than we have for regular First Degree
and
episodes.
And you get to see what you're hearing right now.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Video.
We have full video on Patreon.
Full video of everything going on
Killing
Patreon.
Killing Time is always on video on Patreon these days.
You get to see Jared's beautiful hair every single week.
I honestly can't believe how it's better and longer than my hair, and that hurts me.
Thanks.
Those gorgeous
I feel
locks.
A little greasy today, but.
No, you're looking look great.
I'm in that period where I'm trying to find out how many days I can go without washing it.
Not many.
The longer you go, the less you'll have to wash it. That's the trick.
So, that never helped me.
During COVID in the beginning, I never washed my hair and I stopped needing to wash my hair. Like it just turned into this thing where the oil wasn't being produced and it was incredible.
Wow. Okay.
That's all over now.
That's what I'm aiming for, but.
Because I'm washing it again.
Yeah. We can't be stinky.
It's not sustainable.
No, it's not sustainable. No.
True.
Okay. Let's get into the day today. We're finally in April. It is April 6th. Okay. It's a good day. Jared has a song about April 7th. So tomorrow, listen to that song. Not that you wrote any of the lyrics of it. You have no personal connection to it. So
fuck, okay.
But you played guitar in the
I
song
sure
April
did,
7th.
Jack. Yeah, and I did have a little hand in writing it.
The lyrics?
No.
No, I mean the lyrics, because the lyrics are about a special day in his singer's life.
It's for John.
Yeah, it's for John. So go to listen to that song. But we're going to go back in time. We're going to 1896, April 6th.
Wow.
1896, the first modern Summer Olympic Games open in Athens, Greece.
Wow. Did they do the discus?
I don't know. I think there was just some running.
Maybe they did the discus.
They did?
The torch, probably a torch run.
Probably a torch run.
1917, U.S. declares war on Germany, and we enter World War One.
Oof.
Fun times.
I think we won, though.
I don't think we called it World War One back then. We're
just
probably,
World War.
Yeah,
World War.
Did they even call it World War?
I think it was just the war.
The war. The big one. It's like the big earthquake, but
yeah,
the big war.
It wasn't great.
Scary.
1980, here's your invention. I'm trying to get an invention every killing time.
I love that.
1980, post-it notes are invented.
Ooh, oh God. That's
what a good one.
You know what that reminds me of? Romy and Michelle's high school reunion.
Oh yeah, of course.
Where Michelle pretends that her dad invented, or she pretends she invented the post-it.
No, it was her dad.
Is that what she says?
Yeah, I think
one of the people in the family invented the post-it.
It's such a good lie.
God, it's so good. But then someone's like, "No, you didn't. Someone else I know did the post-it," and they get called out.
It's a good lie then. It's not a good lie now.
Not a good lie now.
Any lie is a bad lie now. Yeah.
This reminds me of a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where Larry goes to dinner with this guy, and his last name is Cobb, and he claimed to invent the Cobb salad. And then Larry finds out that it's not true, and he's like, "Why the fuck are you lying about inventing the Cobb salad?"
Because that was a fucking cool thing to invent if you did in fact invent it. Mm-hmm.
You know what? It's very a nice little hard-boiled egg on there called a Cobb.
Mm-hmm. Add some tuna niçoise. We'll have ourselves a day.
That sounds delicious.
Capers.
In 2016, and I... Tell me what you guys think about this. The first baby is born with DNA from three parents through mitochondrial transfer in Mexico. I don't really know what that means.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know either. It could mean a couple of things. But I need more information, because otherwise if I speak on it, I'll sound stupid.
Was one of the parents conjoined?
I don't know. I should have looked into this, but I didn't. I was just like, this is a very bizarre
fact. I like that you
fact.
Just gave it... Not enough info, but no.
Here's the thing.
I'll pose some questions in relation to this. So, okay. Like, imagine, for example, hypothetically, had I had a cousin who had a egg donor, but then her real husband was the sperm donor.
Mm.
That sounds like three DNAs to me, you know? And I could be completely wrong, but that is a three DNA pregnancy. That is a carrier, a mother.
Is there so, like, if you have a surrogate, is there DNA that is transferred to the
yes,
child?
Well, yes, inadvertently. Not in terms of the makeup, as like as far as the egg conjoining with the sperm and what that makeup looks like, but like there's undoubtedly blood transfer. So I think there is a more nuanced sort of understanding of this, and maybe that's what they mean, but who fucking knows?
Guess what? We're gonna find out in the comments.
Yeah, and I'm sure I'll get called out.
Let us know, Facebook. Yeah, I should have looked into it more. But
I think I'm close.
I think you're,
I love the deductive reasoning. That was great.
Yeah.
That's just my deductive reasoning. I'm not pretending to be educated on this.
Okay, now we're going back to 2020. You know, we all know what was going on in 2020.
Wasn't great.
But on April 6, 2020, Nadia, a tiger at the Bronx Zoo, tests positive for COVID. The first known case of human to cat transmission. And honestly, was there any other ones after that?
No, but cat AIDS transferred around to several species, I think.
That's really
crazy.
Cat AIDS. Yeah.
This is like it's like cocaine bear, but it's COVID tiger.
COVID tiger.
You know?
Well, remember how much everybody was freaked out about that they could give it to their pets?
Everyone was worried about dogs.
Everybody
dog
was worried
parts.
About everything. Nobody knew.
Before the vaccine, I can't believe what we were doing.
Yeah.
No, the craziness of like
hazmat suits at the grocery store. It was a wild
time.
It was
a weird time.
Weird time, guys. So now for like our deep dive of the day today, we're gonna go back to 1772. In 1772,
the great year
of 1772. April 6th, Catherine the Great, the Empress of Russia, ends tax on men with beards.
Wait. Again, so if you have a beard, you avoid tax?
No, if you have a beard, you had to pay a tax. And she ended that from happening.
But that sounds fair.
Well, so this is going to be your little history lesson for the day. So the beard tax started by Peter the Great in 1698.
Okay,
back
I need
in
more
Russia.
Information.
And a beard tax... tax is a government policy that requires men to pay for the privilege of wearing a beard. So the reason why they made a beard tax is they were really hoping to force men to kind of adopt like a Western European style, where the beard was more of a classic Russian style of face wear, hair wear.
Yeah, you keep the face warm.
So basically what they were doing is if you had a beard, you had to pay to have the beard.
Otherwise, you have to be shaved like a worm. That's no, so like an adult silly. Man worm.
Oh my God.
It said to enforce the ban on beards, the Tsar empowered police to forcibly and publicly shave those who refused to pay the tax. So it was like a public shaming of bearded men.
Oh my gosh.
That didn't pay their fair share for the tax.
You're really hurting the chances of these guys. Like, do you want to grow your population? Let some men, like, without a beard, it's probably not happening.
No. Goodness.
Like, if I shave my beard off, I wouldn't be sitting here before you today.
No, beard, facial hair is the makeup for men. Yeah. Like, it really covers a lot of imperfections about a man's bone structure.
I like that you said a worm.
Men look like worms without beards.
Yeah, that's fair.
Especially if they've had one and then lose it. Like, man who's never had a beard doesn't look like a worm. But a man who had a beard and lost it looks like a worm.
Well, because a beard usually adds some volume to the bottom of a man's face.
It just completely morphs the structure of the face because it's covering up, like, cheekbones and the chin. Yeah. And the
it makes them seem like there's maybe a stronger chin situation going on.
So when it's gone and it's suddenly a fleshy tube, you're a worm,
I worry because I've had, it's not really a beard, but it's like a medium stubble that I've had for like 12 years. And I wonder if I were to shave it off, if it would look like I was like wearing a mask.
You're not a worm. I've seen you without a beard. And no, you don't look like it. Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Like a picture.
Not in person, probably a photo.
No, in person. When you used to have short hair, when you and Jack first started dating.
I think you still had a beard.
Never gotten rid of the beard.
Whoa, don't.
So who knows? Don't shave it before we get married.
Jared.
I might have second thoughts.
I'm thinking about it.
That's the true test of love.
I'm gonna shave all my hair off and shave my beard.
Yep. Good luck to you, my friend.
Yep.
I'll be in France.
I want to test our love.
Good luck to you.
We'll see.
You soon to be a stranger.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. So basically, they charge people differently for their beards. So people that were in the government were charged 60 rubles. I don't know how much that was really considered. Wealthy people.
I love the word ruble.
Wealthy merchants were charged 100 rubles.
Ruble.
And regular townsfolk were charged 60. And then people that were from Moscow were charged 30 per year. So there was different charges for everybody.
Lowest.
But I kind of like that at least they made the wealthy people pay more. It's like they're paying their fair share of their tax.
It's better than the democracy we're experiencing.
That's right. Billionaires don't have to pay shit.
Totally.
Yeah. From a financial standpoint, it was unsuccessful because they only raised an average of 3,500 rubles annually from 1705 to 1708. That's not, if they were charging 60 per person and they only raised 3,000 rubles.
That's a rude amount of rubles.
That's not that much.
Either they were not enforcing this or people were just like, I'd rather just shave my beard off.
Well, there was a lot of that happening. Yeah. I think it was like a pipe dream that they would make a lot of money. And I think people were just like, no.
100%.
Yeah, no.
So in 1772, on April 6th, the tax was formally repealed by Catherine the Great, which I kind of love that it was a woman I guess she was helping men out, but.
Yeah, we always are.
Yeah.
I mean, are we always?
I was like, I love that it was a woman that made the decision, but the decision was to help men.
She was
so
helping women too, because there's less worms.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, she was helping men get laid, so it was really helping the men.
Yeah, but at least giving women a broader selection of
So they're not disgusted by all the worms out there.
They're sick.
They're sick. So that's your little wrinkle.
Love that.
In your brain for today. But when we come back, we've got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
Okay, welcome to On the Stand. Every week, we bring a person, place, thing, or an idea to the stand that we are either loving or hating. We have a healthy discussion. Vote if it's guilty or not guilty. Bring it to Instagram. You vote if it's guilty or not guilty. So make sure you're following us on Instagram. And every week, I think we're having a listener submitted on the stand. We have one this week.
Oh, yes.
We do. And if you would like to participate.
Wow.
And you've got something you would like to call in and talk about.
The number is 818-446-6889.
That is 818-446-6889 off the top of my head for the first time.
You copied me.
Fascinating. We're going to start with her on the stand from our listener submission. So,
hello, first degree family. I have an on the stand for you all that's kind of along the same lines of one a couple weeks ago about the crosswalk incident. So I'm putting on the stand people who stop, or when you're stopped at a 2 to 3 way stop and the person who doesn't have a stop sign is like signaling for you to go. It's just one of those things. It's like, no, we're all stopped here. Like, you go, please. We don't need any more awkward interactions in our lives than we need to have. Anyway, so that is basically I'm putting on the stand. If you are not, if you don't have the stop sign, just go. Just don't let any other people go. Let the people who are at the stop sign stop, and we'll just all go along with our lives. So guilty, and that's about it. Thank you, guys.
I cannot wait to weigh in. I hate the forced generosity of anti-following the driving rules.
Yeah.
I constantly in my neighborhood, people are like, go. And I'm people are honking behind you.
Yes.
I don't want to go. I want to dart between the cars when there's time. You make me super uncomfortable, especially women. Yeah. I don't want to go across when you say, especially when there's like 30 cars behind you.
Yeah.
Follow the fucking driving rules and let everybody adapt between you.
Yes.
No one likes to be put on the spot like that.
No, it is. It is. Well, first off, whenever you're at a four-way intersection and one of the things doesn't have a stop sign, it freaks me the fuck out. Because you always think that, like, you're paying attention until somebody runs the other stop sign or something like that. So it's a very dangerous position to be in.
Totally.
So then when somebody now is going to go against what the rules are and have you go on the turn that you're not supposed to go on, then somebody's probably going to rear end that person because they should just be continuing to go.
Yeah.
And it just creates this whole flurry of problems.
Right. Well, there's a couple different sides to it too, because not every place's streets feel the same. So, like, you might be in an unfamiliar area.
Could be in the mean streets.
Yeah. Well, you'd be... you could be literally anywhere, and the signs could feel different, and the streets could feel different, and you might not know that this thing you're coming up to is not a four-way, but maybe a three-way. And so I give people a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. However, I think that it's your job as a driver to just pay as much attention to what is applying to you and follow that.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to just disregard it,
you can't make up your own rules.
You can't just make up your own rules. You should. It's going to keep the flow and it's going to keep things a lot safer if you just go by what the signs are that's posted. But again, I see the other side because sometimes you're in an unfamiliar area. Like, we were in Culver City the other night and the streets just look different there to me.
They're painted
and things are just different.
Hey, I was there.
Scared.
I was there at that dinner.
You were there.
And it was also hard for us.
I pulled into like a turn lane that wasn't a turn lane. It was bad.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
No, there are a lot of windy roads in that area.
You know, so I see both sides. But I think as a individual driver, it's your job to try to pay as much attention to what applies to you and follow
100%.
It.
100%.
Guilty. Yeah.
Guilty.
Guilty.
Easy.
Very guilty.
Love you. Thank you for calling that in. We want more on the stands.
Yeah.
Do we have... We already gave the phone number.
Yes.
We gave the phone number.
I'm going to go first.
I love that.
I was going to do something else for On the Stand, but this discussion about the beards really inspired me.
Oh my God, I can't wait to know more.
And the worms.
Okay.
I'm putting men's haircuts on the stand.
Okay.
I actually had a conversation with Jared about this last night because I was watching The Bachelor and they're doing hometown dates. And The Bachelor just got a fresh haircut.
What?
And I, the
wait,
first...
Really?
Well, it's the haircut that he's had, but he just got a new
too tight to
he got a close fade.
Yeah.
Like he got
you
his,
don't want a close fade.
Yeah, whatever number of the buzz you're supposed to get, or maybe that's the one that he gets. But then, like after you know a week or two, and it grows out, then it looks normal. There is nothing that gives me the ick more than when a man has a fresh haircut. So much so.
It needs to feel lived in.
Yes.
At least for 2-3 days.
Like, talk about looking like a worm. Like, that really is
men,
wormy.
Men, listen up. I don't know how many
worm,
of you there
trying
are.
Trying too hard, too.
Because you're getting a haircut.
You seem like you're trying so hard. Like, you have them cut it a little less close.
I would.
Yeah, look a little
all I'm
disheveled.
Saying is, men, listen up, because all this shit was so shocking for me to hear. And it's great insight. So if you're listening right now, pay attention to this because this is shit we don't even think about.
No.
I would never even think about this at all.
Like, never.
I remember the days, I mean, when I had short hair and going to the barber, it was so awesome to get out of there because it felt so nice. You could feel the wind on your, the back of your head.
Your scalp is
neck.
Finally revealed to
yeah,
the world.
Yeah,
well, your scalp, which has been covered your whole life, right. is finally having a chance to shine.
But yeah. my perspective in those moments
your
was...
Your pink scalp.
Oh, I'm fresh.
I truly think that men think they look the best when they get a new haircut.
Yeah, and boy, was everything shattered last night. And she goes, he gives me the ick.
I was like,
he's got a new haircut.
The bachelor just got his haircut. Gross. Bleh.
And he's like, I thought I looked good when I got
I was like, I thought that's the whole point of getting a haircut is being like,
no. No.
We hate it. We like a grown in look.
Well, like, I obviously hate it so much that I never let Jared cut his hair again.
No, you're well, old like, man river now.
And I was like, I can't even allow the possibility of getting the ick with this man that I love so much by him getting a haircut that we just can't even have that possibility lingering.
Yeah. We were at lunch with her parents the other day and her mom was like, you should do like, take like, I don't know, like 4 inches, like trim up 4 inches. And Jack was like, 2. And I was like, 3.
Jared's hair is his identity now. Like, you are your hair.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Your
personality changed. I think you're beyond that, Jared.
Yeah, well. You know,
I winked at you. You looked away, though.
I was sorry. I was thinking. I looked down here and thinking.
Well, we got to keep these internet rumors fueling.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Alexis
you guys
down.
Are having an affair behind my back. Yeah. Yep.
Not an sorry. Affair. Just Jared and Alexis. Because what I've found is that people think me and Jack's voice is the same.
Yeah.
So they've just convinced themselves yeah. that you're my boyfriend.
Or they're,
so who knows? Keep them guessing.
But that's what I like about this. There's no affair accusation. They're just like, is it Alexis or Jack?
Who knows?
No one knows.
Could be
know.
Anybody. We're
I'm going off what they say.
You know,
so.
two valley girls, you know, that have vocal fry. Could be me or Alexis.
Basically the
annoying
same person.
Voices.
I mean.
Totes.
Anyways, men's haircuts, a big guilty on my
guilty.
End.
A fresh cut? Why?
I'm saying not guilty.
Whatever.
It's
overruled.
Just because man, that's such a specific thing that I feel like men just don't realize.
Overruled.
Exists, so.
Also, you know what? I don't know if all women agree. I also like a more disheveled look on a man. Like some women love their men to be very
no, that's
tight.
Very gym tan laundry.
Yeah,
that's very like tight fade.
Yeah,
like
I used to do
manscaped.
That. Not that.
That's a specific
well, a look.
Look.
Yeah,
I used to
as
have a part shaved in.
That as someone from New York, that's a look.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and but, some women love it. It's just not for me.
Not for me either. But I support it. No man shaming here.
No, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to go?
Yes. So what I'm putting on the stand, I shared something in our ladies group chat. In China, a few weeks ago, there was a thing that was shocking that happened. There was a rain, but not the typical rain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There was a rain of worms.
Worm rain.
Worm rain.
And if you Google this, you'll see like worms all over cars, people with umbrellas with worms all over their umbrellas, worms everywhere. Jared, I want you to say something before I continue.
Because
you look okay.
That's
you look
super spooky.
It's there were it rained.
Not
rained.
A, not a
it
worm
rained.
Guy.
There were worm rains in China.
Okay.
So what I'm putting on the stand is worm rain.
Man, like, I hate it when that happens.
No.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about this because it's not as terrifying as you might think. I mean, it is. But the reason this happened is because of these like monumental storm patterns
right.
we've been having. Apparently, insects can get swept up in a storm pattern
yeah.
and then come back down in the condensation in a way where like a whole city will be rained down upon by worms.
Wow.
Holy fuck, way to traumatize everyone, worms.
I wonder if they're light enough to be pulled up. Are they light enough to maybe survive the fall?
I think they are fine.
The worms don't have any bones. They seem like they'd survive
pretty,
a splat.
They're pretty versatile.
I like
think about if you threw a worm.
They also
I think it would be fine.
They don't need much. Like
yeah.
they don't have any
a vertebrae.
Skeletal system.
They live in the dirt.
Right.
They don't even have eyes, I think.
Yeah, they wow. eat dirt and then they process that. Like,
you know who is probably really happy? Fish.
The birds.
And the birds.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't want any other rains. Like, acid rain is already terrifying for me.
Mm-hmm.
That is pushing it for me. I don't know that I can do, like, any more animal rains.
I think I'd take the worms over the acid for sure.
Acid's well, already happening,
yeah.
my friend.
Yeah, acid rain.
So like,
yeah, the
I would say the worms of all the animal rains are the best. Frog rain sounds a little exciting because you like frogs.
A little you might
get a pet that just lands right on your, yeah.
Oh, that'd be amazing. No. I have a few thoughts about this. One thought is the plus side to a worm rain is you can imagine you're greatest enemy just getting splat in the face with a worm rain.
In the eye.
That's a really nice.
God, you like close your eyes real tight and you're like somewhere, somehow.
And they just get a big. There's a worm slapping my enemy in the face.
Yes.
That does feel nice.
So that's nice. Like. That's a plus of the worm rain.
And like a victimless like crime.
Victimless crime.
No one knows they got slapped in the face except for them.
And worms aren't killing you unless they're poisonous worms.
I'm going to take it a step further.
They're sweet little guys.
I'll take it a step further. I like worm rain because it's a great equalizer because nobody looks cool when they're getting rained worms on them.
No.
So everybody's in the same boat. There's no way to look cool in that situation.
No.
Worms in your orifices are never good. It doesn't matter how cool you are. You look fucking lame if there's a worm in your nose, eye, ear, mouth.
Well, everybody.
You guys, just imagine even better of a visual. Imagine your greatest enemy looking up and then two worms landing right into their nostrils.
In their nostrils.
Ooh, and mouth.
Ooh, and then they're like little seals and they eat worms. They're excited about it.
Totally.
That's how I see my enemies.
I'm saying worm rain, not guilty.
I'm changing it. Not guilty. Bring on the worm
rain.
Bring
on the worm.
This is why we have these discussions. Because it really can change your mind.
It's all about perspective. And this is why we're all above our thoughts.
That's
because
we
can always find a new perspective.
I love it.
I feel good about this.
I like that.
All right, Jared.
So I was going to go with, I was going to put rain in general on the stand today. I think this is different enough than yours.
Okay, let's try yours.
So I'm the kind of person, you know the song lyric, I'm only happy when it rains?
Mm-hmm.
I identify with that.
Yeah, you do.
Because I, from growing up in Phoenix and always being in extreme heat and the sun always out, when it rains, I feel so cozy and I feel like it's like a nice relief. We've had a lot of rain in LA the last like month, and I've been in a really great mood about it.
Love this for you, Jack.
But the reason I'm putting it on the stand is because I know it's divisive. Because I know Jack on the other hand.
I mean, Jared,
I love rain.
Jared and I have so many similarities, but one that we cannot agree on is weather and temperature, and that's where we differ.
Cold and rainy. I just like it because it's unfamiliar to me. It's like something I didn't have. So I appreciate it a lot when it happens.
I love the rain in LA, especially. It feels like an out. Like, I can bail if I want.
Yeah.
Like, I can snuggle in my little, like, I can have a heating pad in my bed and just never leave and be like, I'm sorry, my car has a flat tire. Like, everyone believes anything you say.
Yeah. It's like COVID Junior, where it's like, you're like, you know, go out in the rain? Are you serious?
Well, LA, we also don't know how to drive in the rain. Like,
yeah,
we
it's
think
crazy.
It's like the apocalypse is coming if it's sprinkling outside. So.
And we don't have the infrastructure for it here.
No.
The freeways get crazy.
Everything floods. Our apartment flooded. Our friend's house flooded. The freeways are flooding.
Yeah.
Your apartment flooded?
The bottom floor of it.
Hate that.
No, where all the trash goes.
She's talking about in the complex,
the
not our actual unit.
But it's like wet trash.
Yeah, I get that.
It's pretty
normal. It's happening in my house too.
But I really like the feeling that I get when I have like a coffee and it's like kind of gray and like,
do you
know,
a little hat on?
Yeah.
Kind of like, it's like you're in Seattle.
My rain hat? I'm like, time to bust out the rain hat.
No, we just got rid of our hat, our head umbrellas.
You know what's funny is, we did.
You can get them in France. Every time I've gone to Paris, I get one.
Really?
Oh.
A head umbrella?
That's their jam.
Like the thing with the
that
band and
like
then the
you're
umbrella?
Like a clown?
With from France
Paris?
Colors.
Oh my God.
I have pictures of me wearing one.
That's
I need
so
that,
random.
Especially just for the sun, but that's awesome.
Yeah. Anyways,
I really love the rain, and I feel like I know it's divisive, but it puts me in a better mood.
Defending the rain.
I'm defending it.
I am the type of person whose mood completely depends on the weather. So if it's raining, I'm tired, I'm lethargic, I don't feel great, I'm a little sad. The second the sun comes out, I am ready to seize the day. Like, I am in the best fucking mood ever. Anything is possible. So I hate the rain. I live in California for not the rain, but we're getting a lot of it. And I appreciate it.
We need
it. You know,
it.
As
we
a drought state, we need it.
We needed it.
We need it for the fires, but like, I don't want it. I'm over it.
See, I secretly love it. I realize how much social anxiety I have as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, every time something's canceled, I'm relieved.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I love the rain. Yeah. I love this for me. I want to stay home and be in bed.
Yeah.
All right.
And you've got
a
reason.
I'm sure most people agree with you.
We'll find out. And that's why I wanted to put this up, because I want to see
rain,
what people
think. Not guilty?
Not guilty.
Guilty. Mistrial.
Majority rules, bitches.
Yep. Sorry.
Okay, when we come back, it is time for our second edition of Ask a Girl, Ask a Ginger.
Whoa.
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus and I couldn't practice enough and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways. And with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, and then sentences. And before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's true accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today.
Okay, so it comes as no surprise that I have absolutely no idea how to cook. I don't want to learn how to cook. It's not really my thing. But when I tried Factor Meals, it was a freaking game changer. So Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Yeah, 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. So the first time I tried Factor Meals, I was actually blown away because I'm like, that's it. That's all it is. 2 minutes. And the meals are so delicious. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every single week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. And you can treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon. Ooh, fancy. Shrimp and blackened salmon. Like I said, they're so easy to prepare. I love them. So head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
It's almost summer, and the best and most sustainable way to shop for a new season is on TheRealReal.com. TheRealReal is the largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. It's the only place you'll find brands like Hermes, Cartier, Prada, Dior, Staud, Zimmermann, Jacquemus, and more for up to 90% off retail. 10,000 plus new arrivals land every single day from hundreds of brands you love, all authenticated by a team of in-house experts. Whether it's that perfect wedding guest look, a new summer sandal, an updated beach tote, resort wear for your summer vacation, you're bound to find exactly what you're looking for, plus deals you won't get anywhere else on TheRealReal.com. Visit TheRealReal.com and use code FIRST at checkout for 20% off. Terms apply.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
We're going to go into some questions. I have a longer email that I'd like to start off with.
I cannot wait.
Okay, so this is from Katie. It's a little paragraph, so just
read the
closely.
Whole thing and do it in a dramatic reading.
Okay.
No, but seriously, be like, guys.
You have
like,
your instructions.
You read it. You do a dramatic reading.
What?
Okay. Yeah, please.
It's the first time me seeing it.
It's okay.
So I'm in school to become a radiologic technologist. I'll take x-rays when I graduate. Oh my God, I love that for you.
Yeah.
So part of school is completing a number of clinical hours at different hospitals and outpatient centers where we practice positioning and other skills under the supervision of an already accredited rad tech.
Rad tech. Love that.
The rad techs are supposed to support us in our learning as well as approve comps for us. Close parentheses. Forms that say we are competent to perform a certain x-ray position on our own. So sometimes you get awesome techs who really want to help you learn because you are a potential future colleague of theirs. So you could make their job easier in the future potentially. But a lot of us have run into techs that aren't at all helpful and they're also kind of assholes. I'm a tough person in general, but there's one rad tech who I have cried about on my way home more than once. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt pressured and bullied by the people around you? Yes.
Yes.
And if so, how did you maintain your own well-being and self-esteem and self-worth, especially if you were not in a position where you can confront the person who is breaking you down, meaning you're not really in the position of authority or position of power?
Yeah.
So thanks for any advice to help me be a stronger and more positive, successful person in my field. Oh, shit. Yes.
So, like, to summarize, she works as, like, she's learning to be, like, an X-ray taker, whatever.
X-ray tech.
Radiologic technologist. And the person that's kind of, like, her upper is just a fucking asshole to her and is not helpful and is, like, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure that we have all been in positions like that.
So, can I?
Yeah, go for it.
So, as someone like Jack and Jared have always kind of worked for themselves, as someone who has been someone who's worked for others and someone who is now working for myself, I really actually do have the right answer for this.
Yes.
What you need to do is reconcile your old self with your new self. Like, if you had started at that job with a clear boundary, no one would question it. If you'd been like, hey, this is inappropriate, I don't like this, no one gives a shit. It's when you're nice at first. Mm-hmm. And then you want to change to have boundaries is when you're like, you second guess it. But I'm telling you, as someone who has regretted how passive and how, you know, much of a doormat I've been, it's like, you're safe, own your choices, especially if it's about things like learning
and getting better.
Yeah.
At your
like,
craft.
I think you're underestimating, your rights and position in whatever you're doing. And you need to just be empowered and not have any second guessing. Because the second you're like, yeah, but like, I'm sorry I asked. You need to just be like, hey, what's this?
Yeah.
That's inappropriate if you're not telling me. You need to have like just stronger boundaries.
I think like the biggest lesson in any of this kind of stuff when you're dealing with coworkers or bosses or whatever is to not take things personally. Like unless you fucked up or did something wrong, if somebody is being an asshole to you and you know that these rad techs are kind of known for being assholes, then it's just like, it's hard to not take things personally because, you know, you're having these personal experiences with people, but it's not about you. It's about this person and how they're probably on a little bit of a fucking power trip because maybe they're taking their work too seriously and that's where they're getting their fucking rocks off.
Yes.
So I think, as much as you can try to separate your emotional self from your professional self in that kind of a situation, it's going to do you the best because it's going to make you be able to perform better because you won't be scared kind of going into the next thing, wondering if they're going to be mean to you or not. And it's just like, fuck you. I'm going to do the best I can at the job that I know I'm good at. And you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah. And it's a great learning experience for you because you can look at this and say, well, which kind of these people do I want to become?
Yes.
In what I've experienced, I always have imposter syndrome, and someone who's condescending makes it way worse.
Yeah.
But something I've learned as I've gotten better at certain things that became my craft is that when people ask me a question about it, I can't wait to just not shut the fuck up about it for like an hour. And like, I think people who truly love what they're doing and they're, you know, like excited about their job, love sharing the details of it. That doesn't mean everyone's going to be like that. However, you should decide right now, because this person doesn't matter in the long term. They might be above you in this situation right now, and so you do feel like you're kind of at a disadvantage. But one day you'll be in that position, and I think it's a really important learning curve or learning experience to know what you want to do when you get there. And I feel like the most interesting and fun people and, you know, unique people are the ones who are great at something and really want to share that with people.
Yeah, I think that's a huge, like a great lesson to take.
Yeah.
Being like, how do I want to be? What kind of person and what kind of superior do I want to be when I'm in that position? Like, don't take that for granted. And then when you get to that position, be on your power trip too.
100%. Yeah. And I think the last thing I'll share is that like, you're also in control of your position in these situations. Like you can either be afraid or you can be like, I'm obviously an amazing apprentice to you. Like, you need to empower yourself with like your position in the situation.
Well, it's like know your worth, but it is know your worth. And
that sounds so lame, but like I regret my whole life. I was the most insecure person ever. And I was like, I can't do this. I'm a loser. I suck. And it's like, if I had just lied and said I was the best ever, everyone would have believed me because everyone's lying.
Yeah.
Everyone's pretending they're the best at it. Everyone's faking it, but like it really is about your self-esteem and about the confidence you're commanding. So if I couldn't do this, I'm lame, but if you can command the confidence, because that's the key.
Well, and I don't know what's better, like, because she obviously works in a very logistical, black and white, no nuanced kind of a job. So it's either like you're correct or you're incorrect. Whereas like, obviously we work in a creative field, so it's like obviously very subjective versus an objective thing. I actually don't know which is better to fake that confidence for, because it's like for her, for Katie, it's like, if you are doing good work, like that's a fact. Like you're either doing good work or you're not, you know what I mean? It's not up to discussion or interpretation. So like let your work guide you and guide your confidence.
Yes. I do believe, though, that, like, someone in this position, they've read the books, they have the skill. You have to fucking believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially under the pressure of something as stressful as medicine, you know? And it's like, you have to believe in yourself, do some fucking TED Talks, power poses, Google it. Like, feel good going in. Yeah. Believe in yourself. And then you're ahead of everybody else.
Yeah.
That's all.
A few little affirmations.
Oh, God, you got this.
I feel better. I'm going to go home and, like, maybe write
a power pose.
You do power pose.
I'm serious. You flex in front of the mirror. I just hype myself up. Talking about you. That's insane.
Okay, now we're going to go to one of our Instagram questions. It's an easy one.
That felt good, right?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Advice for moving in with a significant other. So we obviously live together. You and Matt live together. You moved in more recent than Jared and I have been living together for a couple years.
Yeah. You guys go first.
Well, Jared and I had a different situation than you guys, because you moved into a new place together.
Yes.
So it was a new location. Jared and I did the thing where he moved in to my apartment.
Yes.
And I feel like if it wasn't us, we have such an easy relationship. Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of people, a huge piece of advice would be to move to a separate location.
Yeah.
Because then it's not like you're not stepping on somebody's toes in their own space. You're not like cramping their style.
But to be fair, when we started dating and I was coming out here, your apartment was empty. It felt like a new place. And so,
that's true.
So it wasn't necessarily like you were all moved in and it was like ready to go.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it just depends on what kind of person you are. If you're the kind of dude who's like, I gotta have my man cave and all my stuff, it's like you really gotta carve that out for yourself or else you're gonna go nuts. Me, I'm like, I don't want to make any decisions on this shit. Like, if you like this stuff, then you like this stuff. Let's put it in and I'll help you make it nice.
Yeah.
But like, that's like ground floor. And then you get into like the nuance of your relationship and being around each other all the time like that. We were put to the test because right after it happened, COVID hit. And so we were like, you know, our apartment is not large. And so we were kind of in this situation where it was learning how to work around each other. And it was never like it was an issue for us, but I could see and I saw a lot of people have massive challenge with that.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really about meeting each other somewhere in the middle all the time or as much as possible and finding out what it is that you can do to not infringe on someone's space, but to also give yourself more space at the same time. So
I also think a huge thing when you move in with each other, I think when you're dating somebody and you're in your separate places, it's a lot more exciting. Like you're going over to your boyfriend's house, you're going to meet out for a drink, or you're like dating, and it's the excitement of dating. That once you move in with your significant other, you're just kind of like around in your home and you're just like with each other all the time.
Yeah.
And something that we like really implemented, well, also because like I have to always be out and doing something, but like date nights are huge for us.
Yeah.
So it's like going on a date, making a thing of it, going out and getting food and drinks and like making it a whole thing where you're not spending every single night just like around each other on the couch or like he's doing his video games and I'm putzing around, like making the excitement continue to go on by like continuing to court each other, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure. Because you don't want to feel like you're just living with your roommate.
Totally. Yeah. You know? What do you think?
So there are two things, like not you living in one place and Jared moving in with you is sort of an interesting dynamic because you know you'll eventually both move somewhere else together and it's sort of a means to an end.
Yeah.
With our place, like me and Matt were like, every room is like a negotiation and we're like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And do you want... That was one thing. And that was something we had to be prepared for. Another thing is like this man loves video games.
So does Jared.
We fought about it for a minute because I'd be like, I'm home. Do you have to do that?
He was like, carving out his...
Wasn't he trying to play video games like in your living room TV?
He will only play video games. By the way, we have three TVs.
That's so wild.
Three TVs. One is upstairs on its own.
Yeah.
And all the TVs are the same TV. We have the Samsung Frame or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, but he has to do it in the living room. And he was like... I was like, okay, so this has to be a thing where if I come home and you're playing video games, like, you're playing video games loudly in our common area.
Yeah. There's gunfire in your living room.
And it's like, and like someone dying and you hear that. So I was like, can you not? So we fought about that a little bit. But what I'll say is the most difficult thing about moving in, I really don't know. I'm really happy. So it's hard to know.
But you guys were both probably so excited to live in this space.
I just really love him, but the video games aren't the best. And the,
Jared has known that he needed to make his video game imprint very small.
And, you know, you can't see the house as yours. Like we barter in every space.
There
and
are
like,
some simple,
what is this? What are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know, and compromise is big because he's like, I really want to keep this piece of furniture. I'm like, it's so fucking ugly and doesn't match our stuff.
Okay.
But he loves it.
Yeah.
And it means a lot to him.
And so you want to support the fact that he's
attached to it. Yeah. Well, then who am I to say that like it's not important?
We're already showcasing how nuanced.
You gotta really like
everybody has their own shit.
Well, and everyone's like hurt in some way from their childhood or whatever, and everyone's like clinging to things that mean a lot to them.
Yeah.
And you can't discount that. You have to be like, so and so is hurt and needs this around for whatever reason.
Yeah, I just think it's...
And that's valid.
Moving in with somebody is like your first ultimate compromise of relationship.
But you just don't know. Because everyone can put their best foot forward at all points in a relationship until and the moment when you can't is when you sleep in the same room and you use the same kitchen and bathroom and everything is the same. Because in that moment, you find out that maybe this girl that you are obsessed with falls asleep to Curb Your Enthusiasm at a decently quiet
volume. Well, Jared watches
volume.
My whole OCD routine.
That's amazing.
Every
Matt
night.
Falls asleep to anything.
Yeah.
He's just like, from like literally any sound.
But you don't know. You just don't know until you're in there. And so it's like, you know, even if you're staying over and you're doing whatever, it's
you don't know somebody until you move in with them.
You really get to know somebody when you live with
but
them.
But you fall in love more. I got to tell you,
don't.
I only like Matt more.
Yeah, if it's right.
Well, that's the thing. It's like it's the first ultimate compromise and it's your first real test if you really like this person.
And
because moving in with somebody, it's going to exacerbate things, right? So it's like if this
bad.
One little tick that they do like kind of annoys you like in normal life and you haven't moved in, and then when you move in, it's like that's something that could drive somebody nuts if they're just doing this little thing that like, but that means that the person's not right for you. So it's like, obviously I'd highly recommend moving in with a partner before you can get engaged or whatever. But
the only other advice I would give is be careful on the financial side of like being obligated to be stuck in a certain situation for too long if it doesn't work out. I think that's a really big thing people dig themselves into, and then it's kind of hard to backtrack.
No, don't move in with somebody out of convenience, out of financial
convenience.
Exactly.
Because that's how you get stuck in a situation that
million
could end
percent
up being
really
any
bad.
Which way. So
God, that feels good.
It does feel good. Wow. Okay. Well, that's all we had time for. So
wow.
Gotta keep bringing this back. It's great.
Yeah. Are we gonna do a worstie?
Oh, you got it. We're gonna go do worstie next.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
You ever meet someone who seems kind of off? Whether it's a creepy neighbor or random phone number that keeps calling you, Truthfinder has you covered. You can search for people by name, address, phone number, email, and more. Truthfinder can be especially helpful for running confidential background checks on anyone you're planning to meet from online dating apps. Go to truthfinder.com/podcasts for a special offer. That's truthfinder.com/podcasts to access your special offer today.
You are a whole horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Naughtykins. Let's hear about how bad you bad bitches are.
Hey, Alexis, Jack, and Jared. I just wanted to call in with my first university. I've been debating what to send them for a while, but this one's funny, so I figured this fitting, but I'll get right into it. So I was friends with this couple a few years ago, and like we used to hang out in a big group all the time. I was close with the girls, and I was to the guy. But one weekend, they were like, oh, yeah, you know, his brother's coming to town. We shall hang out as a group, and it was great. And me and the brother ended up hitting it off. You know, we were both single at the time. And so we hung out later that weekend. He was, like, visiting from a different city, and we went on, like, our first real date together, and, like, we're, you know, super romantic dinner, and then we're sitting by the water, and he's playing me a song on his guitar because I was 20, and I thought that was cool. But he, like, looks me in the eyes and, like, staring, like, deep into my soul, like, super romantic connection moment. And he says my full name, and then he says something like, you're so great, or, like, I'm so glad I met you, because we were not at I love you yet. And I look him back, like, directly in the eyes, no hesitation, say his brother's full name, and then immediately realize what I've done. I felt so bad. I apologized for hours and hours. He was really cool about it. I also, like, it's not, I don't have a crush on his brother. I just, like, know his brother better than I know him. And for some reason, when I tried to say his name with the last name, his brother's name came out. But yeah, anyways, we dated for like a month after that, and then we broke up because of other things, but that still keeps me awake at night sometimes. So yeah, hope you enjoy.
Ouch. A classic,
you know,
mix of.
I say no ouch because this is the shit men do to women all the time. And I'm like, you were just literally thinking about his brother. And I know you think you don't like his brother, but I think you do.
Might be time to look into that.
I mean, who's in your subconscious, my friend?
No, it's very Freudian.
It's the brother.
Let's look inward. Let's see what's going on here.
I mean, I can't remember when she said this was. Might have been like 20 years ago, but
it doesn't matter. The point is that I don't think this is a worse. It is a worstie, but I just don't think it's bad because I think it's authentic.
Well, you know what? This is like a cliche thing that people do when they have sex. So it could have been way worse in the bedroom.
It is a thing that people do?
Yeah, where you're like, say you the screen wrong your name. Ex's name when you're having sex.
I mean, that's never happened to me.
I mean, me neither.
I'd rather die.
I've never done that. Have you just like heard that somewhere, hopefully?
Have you never heard that, Jared? It happens in movies all the time.
Just kidding.
Are you?
No, I've done it a bunch. Yeah, I pretty much only do that.
Because you've slept with so many people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hell. Like, who would I even
you've
pick?
You've slept with a million.
I don't even remember
million,
any names.
Million ladies.
God, I know.
No, I don't think you've done anything bad. It's a you know, victimless crime, as we say.
God, I love that. I love that.
You're perfect.
But I do like to picture like the imagery of him like finishing the song and being like, I worked so hard on this.
He's like, thank you, Jimmy. I mean, Johnny.
A slap in the face.
100%.
Yeah. All right, Lex. I think that all we have time for is a little poem from you.
Oh, my goodness.
Ooh.
I feel so, this is so unexpected. Doesn't have a name.
Untitled.
April flowers brings George's powers. And little do you know, in springtime is when I'm in my prime and George's flowers grow. Don't be sour, we have few hours. Life is short, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hide in a tower, don't be a coward. I'm George. It's time to go.
Oh, wow.
This is the one that like big you're snaps. Like it's an up into your own interpretation.
Can I tell you that they were trying to talk to me when I was trying to write it and I was like, stop.
Yeah.
This is a time for creativity.
You know what's crazy is you didn't
Did
say
it work?
Stop and you just kept writing and
Can
it turned
you
out
tell
great.
It? I wrote it while we were here doing nothing.
I know.
That means you're a true genius.
Felt good.
Wow.
All right.
Bye.
See you next week.
Bye.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted. Where I felt adventures pulse with every step. And where cold water trickling
pine-swaying and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.